Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the chair of the Assembly Latin Caucus joins us, Cecilia Gonzalez, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways, with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, here at the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We're delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Assemblymember Cecilia Gonzalez of District 16. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
You are very welcome. Let's start out with, you know, a personal situation. Talking about your Twitter feed, you're of Thai Mexican background.
Yes.
And you've been posting a lot of pictures of the earthquake in Southeast Asia. Do you have family members there?
Yes, I have friends. I have family. Luckily, a lot of them were not in the area. My family's actually from northern Thailand. And some of the friends that I have in Bangkok, everyone was okay, which was great. I know that's not the case for every family. So, you know, we've been monitoring the situation. I think the damage is more so in Myanmar, and families are still looking for folks. So.
Well, that's good news for at least your family.
Yeah, thank you for asking.
You are very welcome. Also, on another personal note, so when Nevada Newsmakers Outreach, our nonprofit, first started out, one of the schools that we gave funds to was Canyon Springs.
Oh, lovely.
And you graduated from Canyon Springs. You're also the recipient of a Kenny Gwynn Millennium Scholarship.
Yes.
After graduating. And Ray Hager, who helps me with putting the questions together, said that it shows that the millennium is one of the greatest investments the legislature has ever made in education. What a statement that one of the Millennium Scholars is now a respected member of the legislature.
Oh, I love that. The millennium is how I think many of my friends and I were able to go to college. I think that without that scholarship, it would have been very difficult. You know, I think as a first-generation college student, I did lose my millennium, and I think that that second chance for you to get it back is really helpful, and it really helps students. I think it's like the overall message of, like, you can mess up and still continue and be great. You know, I graduated. I went from a straight-A student to almost barely graduating college because I didn't know how to navigate college. I didn't have anybody in my family that could understand or relate to being a first generation college student, juggling that. My mother had a baby during that time. And so, you know, there was a lot of moving things. I started college as a pre-professional biologist, thinking that I wanted to go to med school, and that quickly did not pan out for me, which is fine. But, you know, I think, like, the more resources that we can give students to be successful, they're going to take and be successful, and I'm a prime example of that.
Yes, and judging by the number of degrees you have, your doctorate path, you have certainly done wonderful things with education.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the governor's bill. He vowed, according to McKenna Ross of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, to put the teeth back into Nevada's penal code. You're on the Judiciary Committee. What were your thoughts on what you saw from what the governor put out?
Great question. So I have not had time to, you know, sit down and read the bill. I have read the highlights of what I've scrolled on, like social media, for example. You know, I think that there are things that are real concerns to our community, like the fentanyl crisis, right? I think that that has been a conversation that we've been having for a number of years now. I think we all care about safer communities, but I do think that there is this conversation about going back on this notion of back on tough on crime, right? And from my perspective, I think that we should be smart on crime, right? We know that through research, right, harsher penalties doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to commit less crime. What it means is that we will be continuing to overcrowd our jails and prisons. And so, you know, I think that I'm hopeful that folks are going to negotiate and get to a place where we can, you know, all agree and move forward. That's the legislative process. And so I'm excited to see that. But, you know, I know that crime and safe neighborhoods is a conversation that all of us want, right? When I think about the neighborhood that I live in and my daughter, I definitely want a safe neighborhood. But do I think that means harsher penalties for drug offenses? You know, that's the debate that we'll be having.
Yeah, and it seemed that there was a big gap between what the standards are now and what the governor is proposing. And like you say, part of this is the negotiating process, plus we're in an election cycle. And yeah. So, and the odds are that the attorney general has already announced that he's going to be running against the governor. So it seems that there may be more PR into this than necessarily what the sheriff actually, or former sheriff actually, would want.
Yeah, but those are things that are all possible as well. I know that there's been some of that, you know, going on all session. So,
yeah. What other areas have struck you in that way?
What do you mean, like
that's part of the political process rather than the legislative process?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not, like, specific examples.
Yeah, I was just curious. And if there's not one, we can just...
Yeah, I don't know if I have a specific example.
Okay. I think politics is always
like,
part.
For example, like the immigration stuff, right? Like, you know, we are not a sanctuary city. And so, you know, them going back and forth, I think of in terms of an example. But to your point, right, like, we're coming up in an election year and folks are definitely going to,
campaign.
Exactly.
and what do you think of what's going on with immigration? Because at this point, you know, the public tends to vote, whether they're literally voting or not, and they are concerned about the number of people coming across the border. In fact, in both borders, what do you think of what the federal government is doing?
To be honest and candid with you, I think it's absolutely inhumane and quite frankly disgusting what they're doing. They, I just tweeted yesterday about the privatization. I can't say that word.
Privatization.
Yes.
It's early in the morning.
It is early of immigration enforcement and the neoliberalism of this, right? Like, they have now contracted with a low budget Mexican airline. Actually, I'm not sure if it's Mexican, but I do know that they fly to Mexico to now deport people. I mean, that is just outrageous to me, in my opinion. I think that what is happening with the IRS is a huge distrust to the American people, to not only the American people, but our communities, right? We were painted this picture of, you know, if you are here, pay your taxes, do what you're supposed to do, right? And so now all that information is going to be given to immigration enforcement. And so I think that this is a huge violation of federal policy. I think that there needs to be an investigation on how this conversation, this deal with the IRS even came to be about. I know that communities are scared and people are scared and families are scared. And I think that there's a difference of community members that are here, that have been here, versus the crisis at the border, right?
Well, one of the things that's ironic is over the last, you know, almost 50 years, none of the federal government agencies have talked to each other. So Social Security and immigration, we're not necessarily talking to each other. And so, you know, but the bigger problem is that there's no pathway to be able to become legal.
Yeah.
And that's the resolution that's needed, not necessarily for people that have come over in the last 15 minutes, but for people that have been here 10, 20, 30 years and beyond.
Exactly. I know people that have been here longer than I've been alive, right? They are community members. They are our friends, our family, our teachers, our caretakers, our hospitality workers. They are the backbone of our community. And it's just inhumane what is happening.
Well, it's also an economic problem for Nevada. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to remove everybody that was not in the country legally, the industries in Nevada would collapse.
1,000%. And I think that the labor point is important, but I think my position is always going to be that these are human beings, right? Like these are, you know, all the things that I've listed. And so they are not just their labor that they provide, which is important, which is how our state operates, right? But they are also human beings. And I feel that the federal government has definitely lost that in their
enforcement of the law.
Enforcement, yeah.
Okay. you know, one of the other things is that if people are concerned about Social Security and Medicare, it takes 16 people working for every person who is retired or on these services. And we are not increasing our population as Americans. So if there isn't immigration of some kind or another, those benefits are not going to be sustainable.
Correct. I mean, I think that's been part of the conversation. I don't have the exact number. There's been different numbers thrown out there about how much undocumented immigrants do pay into taxes, right? They pay into this system that they can never benefit for, number one. Number two, but they also pay into this system to show that, hey, I did come here under certain circumstances that, you know, certain people may view, right, unlawful, illegal. But I'm also here and I'm going to follow the laws of this country while I'm here, right? It is not a crime to be undocumented in the U.S. And so, you know, which one is it? Do they pay taxes or do they not pay taxes? Because the narrative is that undocumented immigrants come here and they don't pay taxes when we very well know that they do. And so I think that that will be something that we will see in the next couple of months, right? I think that there's going to be huge distrust in government. I think that as somebody who works in government, it's something that we've been hearing from our constituents, like how do we repair this trust that communities are being torn apart by the federal government, and then how do I, as the state government, come in and say, but you can trust us, right? And so that's definitely a concern of mine, of ours, of all of us that are working really hard to represent our communities when things at the federal level are just chaotic, to be frank.
One of the problems for law enforcement is that if everybody in the community is terrified of law enforcement, when there is a problem, a murder, a kidnapping, whatever it might be, that it becomes extremely difficult for law enforcement to go into those communities and have the communication they need to be able to find out and resolve these crimes.
1,000%. I mean, I sat down with the sheriff last week, and this was part of our conversation, is this community trust, right? And they've, you know.
What did he say?
About what?
about that.
Right. Well, we were having a conversation about, you know, like they are working really hard to build trust with the community. They have worked really hard to maintain their what do you call it? Like the programs that they do to go into the communities and build that rapport with community members. And, you know, as elected officials, right, like how do we work together to make sure the community knows that, right, when there are issues, you can feel safe and comfortable. I mean, these are laws that we're working on at the legislature on things like, you know, when people are experiencing, you know, I think about Assemblymember Orenlicher's bill about, you know, if a woman is engaging in prostitution, but they experience a crime, how do we make sure that they aren't being picked up for prostitution, but for the crime, let's say that they were raped or they were sexually assaulted and they're at the hospital, right? Like making sure that they know that that crime is something that they feel comfortable to report and write, and that they're not scared that although I was engaging in unlawful activity, this other thing that was unlawful happened to me, right? I think that these are like really, maybe not so contentious, but careful conversations that we've had to navigate at the legislature. But tying back into, right, like, how does somebody who is here or who is undocumented, right, if something happens to them, how do they trust and know that they can report that? And so that is just a conversation that has been for a long time. You know, I can think of back in high school friends that, you know, horrible things have happened to them, but because of their status, they are not, you know, the first one out there to go and maybe report that. And that's our job as elected officials, and to work with our different, you know, police and other, you know, the city, the county, to make sure that folks feel safe.
To say the least. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back more to the chair of the Latin Caucus after this timeout.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblymember Cecilia Gonzalez of District 16, a Democrat, and also chair of the Latin Caucus. You guys have been much more forward in this session and the last session, but even more so this session. What's the thought process with that?
I think that, great question. I think that as a caucus, we've added members. We added two members this election cycle. And so, you know, I think every session we look back on what could we have done better? What could we do better? How do we continue to grow that institutional power that our community has had in and out of that building? And so I think it's really just conversations on, you know, what does the community want to see from the caucus? How can we come up here and represent our community? What are the concerns of the community? And really making sure that that community piece is embedded in everything that we do and at the forefront of what we're doing up here. We also know that it's really powerful to have a Latino when we're talking to the Latino community as representatives. So again, just conversations about how do we show up and be better from last session or from, you know, whatever past event that we've done.
And as a percentage of the community, both in Northern and Southern Nevada, it is a huge percentage. It is not a tiny percentage.
Correct.
Let me ask you about AB 460, the Family Unity Act.
Yes.
Tell us about this and why it's necessary.
Yeah, so AB 460 is a tool that families will be able to use. Essentially what it is that parents and guardians can submit a form that will be held in the Secretary of State's lockbox of who they would like for their child to be in the custody of or a guardian of in the event that they're, you know, deported or anything that has to do with immigration. And so essentially how this bill came to be about is through right before we came up to session, Senator Daniolta and I and the caucus and Assemblymember Torres Fawcett were having conversations in the community. We were holding roundtables, we were holding stakeholder conversations, we were meeting with service providers to really talk about one, everything happening at the federal government, right? And two, how do we navigate mass deportation in our state? Because it's not a question of if it's going to happen, it's a question of when this happens to our community, given everything that happened, right? And we couldn't have foreseen the IRS things and all the things that came down in the last couple of months, right? This was back in January. And that community members are scared, families are scared, people are scared. I'm an educator. Assemblymember Torres Fawcett's an educator. Senator Shelley Cruz Crawford is also an educator. And so we kind of came together of this conversation of, we know absenteeism is up because families are scared. We know families themselves have reached out, hey, you know, I'm scared to go to the bus stop because what if ICE is there waiting for me? Can I do distance education? Because while they're scared, they still want their children to get their education, right? And so these were conversations of, you know, what happens when parents are deported in the U.S. child, the U.S. citizen child is still here. And so we met with the county, we met with the city, we met with different folks to really put this piece of legislation together. I also sat down and met with the governor's office of Washington because back in January, their office did an executive order for a rapid response task force. And so some of the conversations or challenges that we've run into is because it is a federal issue, how can we at the state really help? But one of the concerns that their state was working through is, you know, how do children and parents still maintain communication when that happens? For example, if I'm a child and I'm at school all day and I come home and my parents have been picked up, how would I know that? How would I know where to search for them? How would I know how to find them? And so here in Southern Nevada, we know that we have two detention centers as of right now, right? And so how do we make sure that families are planning? It's another tool in the toolbox. Part of that bill, we also asked for an appropriation for the Trauma Recovery Fund to help students. It's a program that already exists. So of course, we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. We didn't want to ask the state for all these dollars, right? We have amended this part out, but if there is money, you know, I think it's like one of our like wish list items that we would fund this current program. So this program came from the federal government or federal government dollars, and it provides mental health services in the schools. And so we know, right, having your parents deported or even family members is a very traumatic event, right? If I am, let's say, 14 and I go home and my parents have been deported, right? Like, that is a very traumatic, psychological, emotional, and possibly even physical thing that a person will experience. So we kind of really wanted to figure out, you know, if anything we could do at the state level, what does that look like? And how do we protect our most vulnerable? And our most vulnerable are children. And that's kind of how the bill came to be.
All right, very good. Let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Meet Nevada HealthLink, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada HealthLink. Our plans are made for your plans.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes and on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblymember Cecilia Gonzalez. The governor warned the legislature that he was not going to, or he was going to veto the end of life care bill, and gave a lot of reasons. I have to say that, as it, with so many other things, personally, I'm in charge of my body, and I want to decide, if it's time that I should have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
What was your response to his just blatantly saying, if you do this, we'll veto it? Can you get some Republicans to join in this time around?
Yeah, I, I'm disappointed as somebody who definitely also supports, you know, everyone's autonomy to do what they wish. I actually wrote about this topic as a senior in high school for my end of year like project, and so I'm very supportive. And I'm just disappointed that when you ask for things and you do what's asked of you, and then you still are told no, right? Like, that's disappointing for anyone, right? And I think for folks that. It's such an emotional issue. It's really hard conversations. I think that it's tough when you've put so much work in, when you've gone and done, right? He asked for Republican support. The bill sponsor went and did that. So, I think that it sucks. It's difficult, but, it's also the legislative process, right? And I think that we all have to work together, but I was very disappointed to hear that.
And that's where we have to leave it. Well, please come back.
Yes.
We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We'll be right back.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.